Are we ready to be master? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Are we ready to be master? And yes, Rex, you are. I know you are. Rex is licking my leg. He's saying, I'm ready to be master. See, my dog is always ready to be master. He's always ready to do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right purpose. Now, are we ready to be master? One of our students, I believe, sent us a statement, and it was how doctors die, how doctors treat patients, and how guns kill people. And in it, it was a statement about more people die in hospitals than anywhere else. But of course, that's where people go when they're very sick and they have nothing left to do. They hope they might be saved, and they go. Well, guns, they have done a research, have only killed so many people on per ownership of gun in the United States compared with doctors. And we were talking about it, and Ellen was saying, well, that's a put-down for the doctors, and that's telling people that doctors are not good, and doctors are very wonderful. They do a lot of good things. That's right. That's right. If you have a gun in your house to protect yourself from the world, you're in trouble. Now, how many houses are there in the United States? Beaucoup. And how many guns are there in the United States? So-so. Are there as many guns in the United States as there are houses? No. Most houses, Rex, that's enough. Thank you. That's enough. No. Most houses do not have guns. Most houses just surround their house with their pure white light of love, consciously or unconsciously, and saying, all is in divine order. This is my home. This is my home. This is my home. And nothing happens to them. People don't rob them. People don't hurt them. People don't take from them. You know, nothing happens. It is not in their consciousness. And people go to doctors, and they say, doctor, I'm going to die. And the doctor says, okay, you know, whatever you want. He said, you don't have to die. You got a perfectly wonderful body that would be glad to jump back if you would give it permission to jump back. But you don't give it permission to jump back. You don't say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. But my body's not ideal. It's hurting. It's stuff. Well, stop talking like that. When a little child is hurting, you don't say, oh, you poor child, you're going to die. You never put that into a child's mind. How stupid. You tell the child, hey, all is okay now. Now just relax. Relax. What a wonderful word. Relax. Be at peace. Hey, it's okay. Mommy's here now, you know? And what happens? The kids live on another 100 years and go through a lot more dirt. You have to eat a peck of dirt before you die, remember? Now, isn't it interesting? We plant these seeds in our mind. We know the truth. We know that our power of our word, the charisma of our being is so wonderful, but we misuse it. Now, if you're driving down the road and the road is slippery and you say, oh, I'm frightened, well, you will not respond harmoniously. If you drive down the road and the road is slippery, you say, I know exactly what to do. And you slow down. You slow down to where you can control the car and driving it under any circumstances. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, here's a fact. When it has not rained for a long time, and then it rains, the first couple of minutes of the rain, maybe the first 10 minutes of the rain washes the oil off the road. But meanwhile, the rain and the oil on the road make the road very slippery. And if you're not driving very cautiously, you can be foolish. Now, you know this. Now, how much is your life worth? How much is your safety worth? How much is your well-being worth? Is it worth 10 minutes for you to pull off the side of the road and stop there for 10 minutes? If you're going to fall asleep, it's sure a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But when you see the road just recently rinsed or being rinsed by the rain, pull off the road for 10 minutes, maybe 15, and just relax. Maybe meditate. Maybe listen to the radio. Maybe listen to your tapes. Do whatever you want to do. And then after that short respite, the road has been cleaned and the tires can have good traction again. And so you drive moderately and smoothly. There would be less accidents than you could ever imagine. We have them because we are in such a hurry to get no place, to do nothing. And when we get there, we stand there and have our first cup of coffee, you know. And when we get there, we say, boy, I made good time this morning, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody else are driving so slow. Such stupid people. Well, bless these wonderful people not being on the road when you're there. But isn't it wonderful? We know these things. Now, what is the principle of driving properly? The principle of driving properly. The road is slippery. So I am going to wait until it's not so slippery. Just a few minutes. Maybe even the sun's going to dry it. I'm not in that much of a hurry. I want to get anywhere I'm going safely. I know intuitively to begin when it's not inclement weather. Now, you say, well, you can't always not go someplace when it's inclement weather. That's right. But you can always go with intelligence. You can always go with wisdom. Now, you go in the doctor's office, and you say to the doctor, I got this, I got that, I got the other thing, and boy, have I got it good. And the doctor says, okay, thank you for telling me your prognosis. And with those statements, we will act with the pills. So we're going to give you this pill. And, oh, that hurts so much, so much, so much. You know, well, it doesn't hurt so much. It's just irritating. And so if you had just said, deep breaths and relax, the pain would go away. And then you'd... The pain merely tells you that your body is not functioning right because you're putting causes in motion that are making it uptight and upset. And then you start relaxing, and pretty soon it's done. Remember the old days when the doctors were stupid? When, in fact, doctors who went to medical school were thought to go to schools that had taught them nothing? Mm-hmm. And that was in the 1900s? The 1900s! Now, when was Hippocrates here? Ha ha, way back when, you remember? And what did he say? The doctor should never do anything to the patient that would cause him to die or that would cause him to be in pain. The doctor should do everything he can to alleviate the pain and to and help the healing. Okay, now. The doctor says, now this is yesteryear. With bedside manners. The doctor went in to the patient and said, there, there, there. What seems to be the problem? What can I help you with? Doctor, I heard. Okay, that's fine. Doctor, I got this or that. Okay, from my understanding of that. And doctor, I don't know. I don't know. I just all over I feel unpleasant. What can I do? And the doctor says, well, the first thing to do, and the doctor is very good about this, he takes his icy cold hand and he puts it on your forehead and zip, out goes your fever. Out goes your fever. He puts his icy cold hand on your chest and your heart goes boom, 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 back into order again. And then he touches your toes or he touches your wrist or your pulse and so forth. And he just, you say, that's terrible, icy cold. No, it isn't. It's that little stimulant that brings you back to normal. And it brings you back, and it says, there, there. What does a mother say to her child who's crying or ill? There, there, sweetheart, I'm here. It's okay now. All is okay. Take a deep breath. She doesn't even say take a deep breath. She just takes a deep breath, and the child takes a deep breath. She doesn't tell the child virtually what to do. She just does things, and the child has her peace. If the mother comes in all shook up and worried about her poor little baby, you know, then the baby's going to pick that up and is going to take that on. But if the mother comes in and says, I love you, you're so wonderful, you're in our family, you belong here, you're wonderful, you know, and the little monkey, he all of a sudden says, hey, yeah, mm-hmm, I do, you know, and the pain goes away. You see, when you hear a report of people who say that guns and doctors and stuff like that, and listen to it, because you've read it because you're ready to hear what it had to say. Now you're also ready to respond to it, and you're ready to say, nobody needs to die. Nobody needs to live. Nobody needs to be healthy. Nobody needs to be sick. Hey! Nobody needs to be sick. Nobody needs to be healthy. But. Yes, it's just like that. It's just like that. Those are all our choices, specifically, independently, and totally. And when we start making the choice of always saying, I like me, always saying I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I walk my path out here, up and down the side of the mountain, and I'm 25 years old, you know? Getting younger every day. I've been 25 years old for the last 175,000 years, you know. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And what do I say when I walk up and down a path? I know this. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And my voice is just like a beautiful Caruso, you know. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And I'm singing and I'm walking up and down the path. And Rex is walking with me. And his head is up high. And he says, I'm standing next to my dad who is vital, dynamic, alive. Because I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And he doesn't even want to chase anything. He wants to just walk with me. Because I am a charisma presence in his world. Mm-hmm. Are you a charisma presence in your world, or in the world of your pet, or in the world of your associates and friends? What's the first damn thing you say to your friends? How are you? What a terrible thing to say. Because you mean, are you sick? Or are you well? Yeah, but basically, are you sick? Now, if you were to say to your friends, golly, Sylvia, you look wonderful. What have you been eating? You're fantastic. Man, you look great. Ingeborg, wow, you're dancing around here like a spring chicken. It's nice to see that. And Ellen, ho-ho, you're reading without glasses. Ellen, you're fantastic. You're glorious. Ellen, you're doing that eye exercise, and you're doing just beautiful. You're amazing. You're glorious. And what would happen? Ellen would say, oh, drop dead. No, she wouldn't. She'd say, thank you. Thank you for seeing in me what I am seeing in myself. Thank you. Now, is my son going to have a safe journey around the world? No. He's going to have a fun time. It's going to be filled with all sorts of glorious experiences for him. He's going to meet people all along the way who want to buy his ultralight airplanes. He's going to have the greatest time in the world. He's just the happiest guy. Wherever he goes, he's going to take the brilliance of who he is. You know? Now, is he going to have a long life or short life? That's not the question. He is going to live a good life all the years, all the millennia, all the centuries that he chooses to live on this dimension. And he may take off to the next dimension where he already is to, where we all already are. But the thing is, live now. And why, you're here not to be a human being. You're here to be a divine being. You're here to show that you know who you are and live it and be it. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And when anybody comes up with anything negative, turn it around and make it positive. Anybody comes up with anything that's challenging or belittling in any way, make it a joyous thing. Make it wonderful. Tell the world how wonderful they are. I dealt with a number of people over the past couple of weeks who were very distressing at times, and I just changed everything and made it whole and perfect. Because that's who I am, where I am, what I am. Are you in charge? Okay. If you're in charge, take charge and enjoy it. Because now is the acceptable time for your good, and that is so. I love you. 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 I love you.